nothing much. This one's a bill. So is this.
What is it?
Another one of those letters.
Show me. I'm too frightened to open it.
Give it here. Where have all the flowers gone? What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Flowers? Have you been out to your garden this morning?
No, I haven't.
Wait here. I'll go and look. Oh, no!
Good, what?
Your garden. It's ruined. Ripped to pieces. The lawn, the flowers,
oh,
everything.
No.
You'll have to go to the police, Mrs. Compton. You can't go on like this. Oh, that'll be him gloating. Don't answer it.
It might be Mark. Yes?
Where have all the flowers gone?
Who are you? Why are you doing this to us? Why did you leave us alone?
Hate Mail by T. Smith, with William Simons as Detective Sergeant Wicker.
Get that, would you, Blake? My mouth for a sandwich.
Detective Sergeant Wicker's office.
Who?
Oh, just a moment, please. Dr. Stanton wants to talk to you.
Stanton. Hello, Doc. How many patients do you kill today, then? Oh, is that all? You must try harder. It's National Productivity Year. What can I do for you, then? Yeah? You know, I could manage to look in this morning. We've got to go to the village anyway. So what's it all about? All right. Be mysterious. I'll be with you about 11 o'clock, all right? When you get the tea next, Blakey boy, remember I like 3 sugars. Eat.
Yes, Sergeant.
Superintendent wants to see you, George.
Oh, right. Get us another cup of tea, would you, Blakey? I won't be long.
Is that part of my job, Sergeant Clark? Getting his cups of tea and sandwiches?
Oh, he's a detective sergeant with 25 years' service. You're a jumped-up, know-nothing detective constable, straight out of training school. So, you do what you're told. How are you getting on with him?
Terrific. He's fat, lazy, always stuffing himself and complaining about his legs.
He retires at the end of the week. He's not going to knock himself out, is he?
Knock himself out? If he walks 2 paces, he's got to sit down for half an hour to recover. He should have retired years ago.
We had to wait till we had someone brilliant like you to take over from him.
Where's my tea, Blakey?
Just getting it, Sergeant.
And when you've done that, bring the car around to the front. I don't want to walk too far. My legs are giving me jip.
Yes, Sergeant.
I don't think he likes me.
Well, perhaps he finds your pace too hectic, George. What the superintendent want?
He was reminding me to get everything cleared up by the end of the week. Everyone seems to be looking forward to my retirement as much as I do.
Where are we going, Sergeant?
Nice sight. A little village about 4 miles from here. We're seeing a woman called Mrs. Jill Compton. 1/2 a Mars bar.
No, thanks. Why are we seeing her?
Her garden's been vandalized.
Oh, great. The crime of the century.
Oh, we have to take what we're offered, my son. Sometimes days pass without a single decent mass murder. How do you like Delford?
I don't. First chance I get, I'm moving on. London, if possible.
Oh, you could do a lot worse than Delford. I was born here, spent all my career here.
I want to make something of my life. I don't intend ending up like...
Like me, you mean?
Well, I didn't
That's
mean you.
That's all right, Blakey boy. I know my limitations. I only made sergeant by the skin of my teeth. Up to last year, I was the oldest detective constable in the business. Turn left here. You won't believe this, but I was as keen as you when I first started. I was going to be chief commissioner within 5 years, and yet here I am, calling on a woman whose flowers have been pulled up.
And this is how we found it, Sergeant.
Oh, what a mess. It must have been done during the night, but you say you didn't hear anything.
Well, I took a sleeping tablet. I haven't been sleeping too well since this business started.
You should have called us in earlier.
I kept hoping it would stop.
Jill!
I'm back. Where are you?
I'm out here in the garden. It's my husband.
Good God. What happened?
This is how we found it this morning. There was another letter and then a phone call. When you weren't here.
It's all right, love. I'm back now. Who are you?
Detective Sergeant Wicker and Detective Constable Blake. Your wife called us in.
I could just get my hands on a swine who's doing this to us. It's so malicious and mindless.
Oh, it's malicious, all right. Well, I think I've seen all I want to see out here. Can we go inside now? I could do with a sit down. My legs are playing me up something wicked.
Digestive, my favourite.
Here's your tea. I haven't sugared it.
That's all right, Ada. Just put it down. We'll help ourselves.
Those biscuits are supposed to be for everyone, Sergeant.
Hey? Oh, sorry.
I'll be getting back to the village then, Mrs. Compton. I'm late now. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for staying, Ada. Bye.
You said you wanted to ask some questions, Sergeant.
Yes, sir. I understand this wasn't the first unpleasant incident.
No, no. We've had phone calls, obscene letters.
You run a business from this house, sir?
That's right, Sergeant. Compton Office Systems is mainly computer hardware and commercial software programs. There's over £100,000 worth of stock in the house.
Safely locked up, I hope, sir?
Yes, of course.
Do you mind if I ask the questions, Blake?
Sorry, Sergeant.
When did it all start?
About 3 weeks ago. Monday the 8th.
It began with the phone calls.
Yeah. Tell me about them.
Well, Mark was away. I was alone in the house. At 1 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. I answered it. A click as the person at the other end hung up. Just as I drifted off to sleep, it rang again. And again, the caller just hung up. 3 more times that night, and other nights, always when I was on my own.
Did you report it to the exchange?
Well, yes. They offered us an ex-directory number, but that's no good to us. We're running a business. In the end, I left the phone off the hook. But we had to have it back on again during the day for our customers. And then he started phoning during the day.
He?
I think it's a man.
Oh, so he spoke?
Yes. At first, he would just laugh. A sort of evil laugh. I can't tell you how it terrified me. And then when the letters started coming, he'd say, "Did you get my nice letter?" Then he'd hang up.
Yeah, we'll come to the letters in a minute. These calls were only made when your husband was away.
Yes, it was as if he knew I was on my own.
Hmm. Are you often away, Mr. Compton?
Yes, I have to be. We've got customers all over the country who need regular calls. Well, sometimes I'm away 2-3 days at a time. Yesterday, for instance, I was up north. I didn't get back until this morning. To find all this.
He's never phoned whilst you've been here.
No.
Anyone want this last chocolate biscuit?
Help yourself.
No. You mentioned the letters.
The first one came a couple of days after that first phone call. A cheap piece of paper with cut-out letters from a magazine pasted on it to form a word. An obscene word. There were four like that. Then he changed tactics. No letter, just newspaper cuttings, obituaries of people called Compton, or reports of murders or accidents with the victim's name crossed out and our name written in.
Whoever's doing this must be a nutcase.
Tell them about the parcel.
Oh, that was horrible. Last Friday, the postman delivered a parcel. It felt wrong. I shouldn't have opened it. Inside, wrapped in an old rag, was a dead bird.
That's depraved.
The phone rang immediately. Even before he spoke, I knew who it was. He said, "How did you like your nice present?"
Where's the nearest call box?
It's a couple of miles down the main road, just before you reach the junction.
Could he see the house from there?
Yes, I suppose so.
We'll check it on our way back, Constable. Did you keep any of the parcel, the wrapping paper, anything?
No. Ada got rid of it in the boiler.
What about the letters?
Ada burnt those as well. I've got the one that came today, that's all. Here.
Local postmark, posted yesterday.
Where have all the flowers gone? Whoever's doing this doesn't seem to like you very much. Any idea who it might be?
Well, we haven't an enemy in the world.
Oh, come, sir, we've all got enemies. Even I could think of at least one person who doesn't like me, if I really put my mind to it.
We've both racked our brains. There isn't anyone.
Well, my colleague here said it was the work of a nutcase, and he could well be right. Unbalanced people tend to brood over little things, trivia magnified out of all proportion, a row over a parking space, jumping the queue in the post office, things like that.
If it was that trivial, I wouldn't remember it.
Mark, I suddenly thought, that man who tried to pick a fight with you...
What man? Oh, him. Well, that was ages ago. Nearly 6 months.
It sounds promising, sir. Tell us about it.
Oh, it was nothing. I'd be wasting your time.
But this man's wife tried to get off with Mark.
No, she didn't try to get off with me. All right, I'd better tell you. This happened some 6 months ago, Sergeant, in London. Joe and I were invited to the sales launch of an office automation system. It was held at this big hotel, bags of free booze and grub. And Jill had gone off somewhere, I forget where.
I was powdering my nose.
Yes, whatever. Well, anyway, this woman, I'd never seen her before, asked me for a light. I was lighting a cigarette when this drunk, who turned out to be her husband, lurched over and accused me of trying to take his wife away from him. Well, I didn't want any trouble, so I turned to go. And as I did so, he swung a punch at me, missed by miles, and fell flat on his face. Well, that's all there was to it, really. Later, the sales manager came over and apologized. Said this chap was blindly jealous of his wife and had been knocking back the free booze all day.
Do you remember the man's name?
No, sorry.
I do. It was Bradbury. Simon Bradbury.
Yeah, if you say so. I don't remember. Anyway, that was more than 6 months ago, and I've never heard any more about it.
Right. It's a bit remote, but we'll check it out. It's the only lead we've got so far. Right. Now, let's note down a few dates and times.
Is that call box?
Hmm.
Yeah. You can just about see the house. Those trees block most of it off.
Well, you wouldn't need a panoramic view. You'd only need to see the post van driving up the approach road.
Where to now?
Oh, turn back the way we came. I promised Dr. Stanton I'd drop in on him.
Right.
You got details of those people Mark Compton was supposed to have called on yesterday?
Yep, and the hotel he stayed at.
Yeah, well, as soon as we get back to the station, I want you to phone them and check if he really was there.
Surely you don't suspect him.
I've got a nasty, suspicious mind. Things only seem to happen when he's away from the house. He was never there when the phone calls came. My guess is he made them himself.
You're saying he scared the living daylights out of his own wife and ruined his own garden? Why, for Pete's sake?
Well, first we find out if he really was where he said he was last night. If he wasn't, then we can start scratching our heads for a motive. Hmm. There was a bar of chocolate in here.
You ate it on the way up.
Did I? Hmm. Ah, that's the doctor's house over there. Second one along.
Oh, it's you.
Oh, hello, Ada. You work for the doctor as well, then?
A couple of hours every day. Come in, then. He's expecting you. And wait your feet. I've just done that passage.
Oh, you're a busy little bee, Ada.
Well, that takes you thin, Sergeant. You should try it sometime. Come this way, please. Sergeant Wicker, Doctor.
Hello, Sergeant.
Morning, Doc.
Come in, come in. Sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ada.
Now, this is my assistant and successor, Doc, Detective Constable Blake, straight out of training school and dead keen.
Hello, Constable.
Sir.
Good of you to come, Sergeant, but first things first. What do you say to a drop of my special whiskey?
Whiskey? In all the years I've known you, Doc, you've never even offered me a glass of water. Who have you killed and where have you buried the body?
Just a friendly drink, no strings.
I don't believe you, but I'll take your whiskey. You'd better make it a large one. I'm still reeling from the shock.
What about you, Constable?
No, thank you, sir. Not while I'm on duty.
Oh, you can tell he's new to the job. Cheers, Doc. Your very good health.
Good health.
Oh! Are you sure this isn't the stuff you pickle specimens in?
Have another.
One drink might be friendship, Doc, but two, there's got to be a catch.
You're too suspicious. Well, how are you keeping?
My legs don't get any better, Doc. Would you like to take a look at them while I'm here?
No, thank you. The only trouble with your legs is that they're carrying too much weight. Are you sticking to your diet?
Religiously.
Good. There is one thing you might be able to do for me.
Here it comes. This is where I pay for the drinks.
Remember the trouble we had last year with those letters?
Yes.
Well, it started again.
What letters are these?
Poison pen letters. We had a spate of them in the village about this time last year. Lasted about 4 months, then suddenly they stopped. I was hoping we'd heard the last of them.
No such luck. They're back again. As nasty and malicious as before.
Officially, there's not an awful lot we can do, Doctor. As I'm sure Sergeant Wicker will have explained to you, there's no law that covers poison pen letters. The actual sending of them isn't a crime.
Not a crime? Good Lord, man, if you knew the misery and distress these letters are causing...
Listen, Doc, irrespective of what the law says, and even without the cheap whiskey you've pushed on me, I'd still help you if I could. But I've got nothing to go on. No one's prepared to cooperate. Do you know, Blakey, at least 7 people received one of these letters, but they all denied it. Letters, Sergeant? We haven't received any letters.
What sort of things did the letters say?
I haven't the faintest idea. I was never allowed to see one. That's the sort of cooperation that I was getting.
Here.
What's this?
One of the latest letters. It was received yesterday.
How did you get hold of it?
Never you mind. Just read it.
Dear Letcher, does your sweet wife know what filthy and perverted things you and that shameless little bitch in Delford got up to? I was watching last Wednesday. She didn't even bother to draw the blind, so I saw everything. I saw... Blimey, Doc, it gets a bit graphic, doesn't it?
What did they do?
Let's just say a good time was had by all. Here, you better read it.
Sure.
If all the letters were like that, it's no wonder people didn't want me to see them.
Typed. All in capitals. The letters A and S out of alignment. Pretty common type in paper.
The return of Sherlock Holmes, Doc.
Doesn't leave much to the imagination, does it? Right down to a birthmark. Now, take my tip, Doctor. Next time you see the lady in question, make sure she pulls down the blind.
I beg your pardon. That letter was handed to me by a male patient. He asked me to pass it on to the police.
Come off it, Doctor. I wasn't born yesterday. Who was the woman? Was she a patient of yours?
How dare you? How dare you?
Simmer down, Doc. You're dealing with ignorance. Constable, what does the opening sentence of that letter say?
Opening sentence? Dear Letcher, does your sweet wife know what...
Hold it. That's enough. The doctor isn't married, Constable, so he doesn't have a wife, sweet or otherwise.
Oh. I apologize, Doctor.
We'll say no more about it.
Now, can you tell us the name of your patient?
I'm sorry. I gave him my word.
Do you have the envelope this letter came in?
Yes.
May we see it?
If you saw the envelope, Constable, you'd know to whom it was addressed.
I hadn't thought of that.
I'm sure you hadn't.
Was it posted locally?
What day is it, Constable?
Day? Wednesday.
That's right, and I don't retire till Friday, so do you mind if I ask the questions? I assume it was posted locally, Doc.
Yes, in Delford.
So what do you want us to do?
Find out who's sending this filth, and make sure it stops.
You've wasted your whiskey, Doc. You give me one letter, but you won't tell me who received it. No one wants to make an official complaint. No one is willing to talk to us or even admit they've received a letter. So what have I got to go on?
I know. But something's got to be done. I had a patient threatening suicide yesterday because of one of those letters. It'll end up in a death, you mark my words.
Then try to get people to talk to us, Doc. Give us something to go on.
I'll try.
Good. Oh. That whiskey, it's making me sleepy. Now, has anyone in the village got a grudge against the Comptons?
The Comptons?
Not as far as I know. Ada was telling me about their garden being vandalized.
Yes, other things as well. They've had phone calls and letters.
Poison pen letters?
Entirely different to this, Doctor. This is typed. The one Mrs. Compton received was formed from words cut from a magazine.
But both posted locally, Constable. This is a small village. One malicious swine in it is hard to swallow. But two...
Yes, I see. And what time did he leave? You sure? Well, thank you very much.
Sergeant.
Sergeant?
Huh? What? Oh, he must have dropped off for a couple of minutes.
30 minutes, Sergeant. It's nearly 4 o'clock.
Oh, it's all go, isn't it? So, what's the news?
We've got the forensic report on Mrs. Compton's letter. The words were cut out of Vogue magazine. I've checked with the local newsagent. They don't stock it, and none of the villagers have it delivered.
Well, still, if it's Mark Compton, he could have brought it on his travels.
I checked with the customers he was supposed to be calling on.
And?
He called on them all right. Didn't leave his last client until gone 7 o'clock yesterday evening.
So, there's plenty of time left for him to get back and vandalise his garden.
I also checked with the hotel. He was in the bar till gone midnight. He booked an early morning call for 6, paid his bill just after 6:45, and removed his car from the hotel car park at 7:07.
Oh.
So, makes your theory look a bit sick, Sergeant.
Never mind. Go and get me a cup of tea, would you, son?
While we're on the subject, Sergeant, it's not part of my duty to go and get you cups of tea.
You know, be a sport, Blakey boy. My poor old legs are playing me up.
No way. And I'm not Blakey boy. I'm Detective Constable Blake.
I'm sorry, Detective Constable Blake. Would you mind opening up the top left-hand drawer of that desk? Yes, that's the one. Take that pile of papers out.
These? What are they?
The Divisional Crime Statistics return. I think you'll find it about 7, maybe even 8 months behind. Bring it up to date, would you?
What, now? It'll take ages.
It's all part of a detective constable's duty, Blake. Or, alternatively, you could go and get me a cup of tea.
With 3 sugars.
Heaped.
Yes, Sergeant.
And a couple of buttered scones.
George, we've had a telex from London in answer to your inquiry about Simon Bradbury.
What's it say?
Simon Bradbury, age 39, currently unemployed. 3 convictions for drunkenness, 2 for assault, present address unknown.
Could be our man, Sarge.
Yes. But he doesn't sound the sort of bloke would read Vogue, though, does he? Do the Mets say if he has an alibi for last night?
He's been away from home for a month. No one knows where he is.
Not even his wife.
She walked out on him some 8 weeks ago. No forwarding address.
He's got to be him, Sergeant. History of drunkenness, violence, jealous of his wife. Her leaving him could have been the last straw. He wants someone to blame and remembers his fight with Mark Compton.
Sounds like a storyline from Dallas. Oh, I suppose it wouldn't hurt if we kept an eye on the Compton's place in case he sneaks back again. Feel like a spot of overtime tonight, Blakey?
Sergeant.
Huh?
Huh. I think I heard something round the back of the house.
Oh, where am I? What time is it?
2:30. Oh. That must be the lounge window. I'll bolt round the side of the house, that way. You nip across to the end of the lane and cut him off there.
Oh. Yes, Mr. Blake. Certainly, Mr. Blake. Anything you say, Mr. Blake.
In here, Sergeant. Oh, look at the window. Smashed a piece of...
Find the glass on your bare feet. What's that on the floor?
That looks like flowers.
Don't touch it, sir. Get it, would you, Blake?
He's left you a present, Mr. Compton. It's a wreath. A funeral wreath.
Here, give it to me. Here's an inscription. Goodbye. He doesn't waste words, does he?
It's a pity you didn't get him. Did you see him?
You missed him by a hair's breadth, sir.
If you'd moved a bit faster.
I'm not built for speed, Constable. Where's your wife, sir?
I told her to stay upstairs.
Well, there's something I must ask you that you might not want her to hear.
Oh?
Simon Bradbury, the chap you had the fight with.
Hardly a fight, Sergeant.
His wife left him a couple of months ago. Any possible reason why he might think you were the cause of her going?
Me? I spoke two words to her over 6 months ago after some total of our acquaintance. I haven't seen her since. You surely don't think Bradbury's responsible for all this, do you? That's ridiculous.
Maybe, sir. Mrs. Compton.
Did you get him? He went charging across the lawn. I saw him.
He slipped through our fingers, Mrs. Compton.
Can you give us a description?
I only saw him for a split second, then he was through the bushes and out onto the lane. Just a dark shape, that's all.
Yes, I can't help much either. I only got a fleeting glimpse.
Well, tell us exactly what happened.
I was asleep. Then there was this sound of breaking glass. I woke Mark up.
We went to the window and looked out. And there he was, racing across the lawn.
Mark told me to phone the police, but they said you were already here.
Yeah, we've been here since midnight.
Anyway, the next thing we heard was you pounding at the front door. You know the rest.
Thank goodness Mark was with me. If I'd been here on my own, I just...
Yes, usually these things only happen when you're alone in the house.
He might have thought she was alone, Sergeant. Hmm? I should have been in the West Country tonight, but I'd cancelled it.
Morning, Sergeant.
There's no need to stare at your watch. I know I'm late. I was up till gone four this morning.
So was I, Sergeant.
Oh, yeah, my legs feel as someone's been sticking red-hot needles in them.
Must have been all that running you did last night.
Oh, very funny. I've got a job for you.
Oh, yes.
I want you to call on every florist in Delford and try to find out who bought this wreath.
Right, I'll take the car.
No, you won't. I'll be using it myself. The doctor wants me down the village. There's some panic on.
I told you, Sergeant. I warned you. I said someone would try to kill themselves.
Now, calm down, Doc. I'm tired, I'm hungry, and my legs hurt. Start from the beginning.
Ada found him.
Found who?
Old Mr. Wardley.
He is next door to me. I do his cleaning twice a week.
Oh, blimey, Ada. Is there a house where you don't do the cleaning? Whose toast is this?
Mine. Go eat it if you want it.
I knocked on his door about 9. No reply, so I used the spare key he gave me. No sign of him downstairs. That's strange, I thought. That's very strange. So I calls out, Mr. Wardley, are you there? No answer.
Now, speed it up a bit, Ada. Pass the marmalade, Doc.
I went upstairs, and there he was on the bed, fully dressed. His face white as marble, his eyes closed. I touched him. He was icy cold, just like a corpse. I did no more. I ran straight across to the doctor. Doctor, doctor, I cried.
All right, Ada. Now your turn, daughter.
He wasn't dead. He'd swallowed all the sleeping pills in the bottle, but there weren't enough to kill him. We got him into Delford General Hospital.
Is he going to be all right?
He was still unconscious when the ambulance arrived, but he should pull through.
Good. He's a weird old boy, but he never did anyone any harm. Was there a suicide note?
No. Nope.
So why should you say he attempted suicide? Oh. Couldn't it have been accidental?
You don't accidentally take an overdose of sleeping tablets at 9 o'clock in the morning with all your clothes
on. All right, Doc, all right. I'm not fully awake yet. That's nice toast, Ada.
You're not getting any more.
Now, what makes you think he received a poisoned pen letter?
This envelope. It was on his kitchen table, posted last night. The typing is identical to the letter I showed you yesterday.
Yes. So where's the letter that was inside it?
I don't know. We looked all over. We couldn't find it in the house.
Oh, brilliant. No suicide note, no letter. All right, Doc. I'll go and see Wardley in the hospital. But if he clams up like all the others, then there isn't a damn thing I can do about it. Mr. Wardley?
Yes?
Detective Sergeant Wicker. All right, if I sit down... Miles of corridors I've tramped to get here. You've got to be fit to visit people in hospital.
I suppose you've come to arrest me.
Well, why should I do that?
I tried to kill myself.
Oh, attempted suicide isn't a crime anymore, Mr. Wardley. Oh, these are your gripes. Besides, for all we know, it was an accident.
You know it was suicide. I left a note.
Did you? We couldn't find one.
It was on the bedside table. Note and the letter that drove me to it. Oh, why didn't they let me die?
We didn't find the letter either.
Both on the bedside table. You must have seen them.
I couldn't have looked properly. I'm getting past it, I think. Don't worry, we'll find them. Tell me what the letter said.
He'd found out all about it. I didn't think anyone knew. It was such a long time ago.
What did it say? Well, it made you try to kill yourself, Mr. Wardley. What he did to you, he could do to others. I want to put a stop to it.
You'll keep it to yourself?
Yeah, if I can.
This happened over 30 years ago, Sergeant. Long before I moved here. I taught at the Sunday school. There were these two girls in my class. One 12, the other 13, but they looked older. After class, they used to come back to my house. We'd chat, watch television, spend a pleasant time together. It was all very innocent. I swear to you, Sergeant, I never laid a finger on them. But tongues started to wag. There was talk. Nasty, evil talk.
Go on, sir.
I was called before the Sunday school superintendent. I swore on the Bible. Did he believe me? Oh, no. He preferred to take the word of evil and malicious scandalmongers. I was forced to resign.
I see.
I can't tell you the shame and the humiliation I suffered. I couldn't face anyone after that. I had to move and start afresh. After all these years, I thought it was over and done with. Until I received that awful letter.
What does it say?
Something like, "Dear Letcher, what will the church say when I tell them about you and those girls? Sergeant, I'm church warden. It's my life. I couldn't face it happening all over again."
Is there anyone in the village or locally who could have known about your past?
I didn't think so. I didn't think anyone knew. I'm very tired, Sergeant. Oh,
then I won't bother you any more, Mr. Wardley. Thanks for your help, and try not to worry.
Sergeant Wicker.
What? Oh, hello, Blakey boy.
Sorry to disturb your sleep, Sergeant.
You're not asleep, just thinking, with my eyes closed. You look footsore and weary, Blakey boy.
Do you know how many florists there are in Delford, Sergeant? I called on every flaming one of them before I found the shop that sold this wreath.
Oh, well done, Constable. So who bought it?
A dear old lady called Mrs. Vestry. Her husband died last week. He was 87. They buried him yesterday.
And someone pinched the wreath from his grave.
That's right.
This is Count Dracula's stuff, this is. Bring the car round the front. We're going out.
Out? I've only just come in.
You've got to keep up with me if you want to get on in this job, Blakey boy.
Don't stand around looking untidy. Sit down. What were you looking for next door?
Mr. Wardley's suicide note and the poisoned pen letter.
What's all this on the table?
I'm sorting out my homemade wine. Want to try some?
Ada's famous for her homemade wine.
We're not allowed to drink on duty. So, where are the letters then, Ada?
What makes you think I've got them?
Mr. Wardley left them on his bedside table. You were the first one in, and they were gone by the time the doctor arrived.
Did Mr. Wardley say it was all right for you to have the letters?
Yes, Ada. I spoke to him at the hospital this morning.
All right, then. Here it is.
What's it say, Constable?
Dear Letcher, what would the church say if I told them about you and those innocent little girls?
Is that all?
That's all. Typed on the same machine as the other one. The A and the S out of alignment.
Where's the suicide note, Ada?
I burnt it.
You did what?
Suicide is a mortal sin, and Mr. Wardley's a church warden. I wanted people to believe he took that overdose by accident.
Oh. Wish you hadn't done that, Ada.
Think yourself lucky I kept the poison pen letter. I was in two minds whether to burn that as well.
All right, all right. I'm coming. What's all the panic?
Hurry up, Sergeant. Get dressed.
It's in the middle of the night. What's going on?
The fire brigade are round at the Comptons' house. They don't think they can save it.
Oh, yeah? How did it start?
They reckon it was arson. Hurry up, Sergeant.
If you weren't so slow, we would have caught him last night.
Sergeant Wicker, over here.
4 o'clock. What's the situation? The Compton's all right.
Oh, well, the woman's suffering from shock. Otherwise, she's not too bad.
And her husband?
They've just brought his body out.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, they couldn't save him.
Has the doctor seen him yet?
No, he's on his way.
What happened?
I haven't got the full story yet. I know there was a 999 call in the Comptons just after 2, reporting someone was trying to break into the house. But by the time our car arrived, the place was nearly gutted. They found Mrs. Compton unconscious on the lawn at the back. No sign of her husband. As soon as the fire brigade arrived, they sent in a team with breathing apparatus. The husband was on the floor in the lounge. They tried everything. He was dead.
Well, where's the body?
Oh, over here.
Oh, there's the doctor now. Over here, Doc.
Sergeant.
Just
isn't this terrible?
Here, take the sheet off him, Blakey.
Right, Sarge.
I suppose he was asphyxiated by smoke and fumes, Doc.
Yes, I imagine so. Shine that torch down here, will you? No. Not smoke and fumes. Look, here, back of the head. Skull's caved in. He's been hit, and hit hard.
Couldn't that happen when he fell?
Well, the post-mortem will tell us for certain, but I'd say he was killed by a heavy blow.
So we're talking murder, Doc?
Yes.
My last day on the force. I could have done without this. Where's Mrs. Compton?
Ada's looking after her. Someone's going to have to break the news about her husband.
Oh, that's one of the perks of the job, I suppose. Come on, Blakey, you can give me moral support.
Before you go, there's something I should tell you.
What?
It may not tie in with this business in any way, but that poison pen letter I showed you yesterday...
What about it?
It was sent to Mark Compton.
Mrs. Compton.
Have you found Mark? How is he?
Bad news. I'm afraid, Mrs. Compton.
Oh, no. Oh, please, no.
He's dead, Mrs. Compton.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Can you tell us what happened? You're the only one that can help us, Mrs. Compton.
Yes. I was woken up, by Mark using the phone by the bed to call the police because he'd heard someone moving about downstairs. He said I was to stay in the bedroom and lock the door while he went downstairs, and I pleaded with him to wait until the police arrived, but he would go, and then I heard him shouting and a crash, and suddenly I smelt burning. I unlocked the bedroom door. The hall was thick with smoke. I called for him, but he didn't answer. And the lounge door was closed, so I opened it, and flames shot out. Mark was on the floor, and I couldn't get him. The heat drove me back. I must have passed out. I don't remember anything else.
Well, they found you unconscious on the lawn.
Well, I could have got him. I did try. I really did try.
There was nothing that you could have done, Mrs. Compton. He was already dead.
Oh,
when you first saw him.
But I pleaded with him to wait for the police. If only he'd stayed with me.
No more questions, Sergeant. She's had enough.
Yes, quite.
I'll stay with you for a while. There's tea and biscuits in the other room if you want them.
Sugar, Sarge?
What's that? Oh, a stack of bottles on the floor.
It's all that homemade wine.
Mm.
If that letter was sent to Mark Compton, then who's the woman he's been knocking off? She could be the motive behind all this. A jealous husband.
If only we knew who she was. Oh, damn bottles. Oh, wait a minute. Ada always keeps her wine in that cupboard. Why has she dumped the bottles on the floor?
Oh, I don't know.
Quick, before she comes back, nip over and open that cupboard.
Well, well, well. Clever old you, Sarge. A portable typewriter.
Ah.
And what do you think you're doing?
Oh, I tried to stop him, Ada. He wouldn't listen to me.
You've no right to poke and pry in my house. Now put that back where you found it and get out.
I can't move until I've had a rest, Ada. Even my good leg hurts. I never knew you had a typewriter. I never even knew you could type.
There's a lot of things about me you don't know, isn't there? I told you to leave it alone.
Nearly finished. There. Take a look at that, Sergeant. The S and the A, identical to the poison pen letters.
He's right, Ada. It's identical. I'm willing to listen to any explanation you might care to offer.
I don't intend to explain anything.
You don't need to. It's obvious. You sent those letters. Because of you, that old man tried to kill himself.
You better arrest me then, hadn't you?
No one's going to arrest you, Ada. In fact, we might not even arrest poor old Mr. Wardley. I mean, he damn well deserves it.
Wardley?
Yes. That's his typewriter, isn't it, Ada? Mr. Wardley's the one who's been sending all these letters.
But he was sent one. He tried to kill himself.
He put on a good act, but he knew he wasn't taking anything like a fatal dose. He sent that letter to himself, didn't he, Ada? And then faked a suicide attempt. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
How did you find out?
I wasn't sure until Blakey found the typewriter, and that clinched it. That poisoned pen letter he sent himself. It was too restrained. What would the church say if I told them all about you and those innocent little girls? Well, all the other letters went into pornographic detail. This one was almost polite. And then there was that suicide note. I couldn't understand why you should destroy it. It didn't make sense.
I didn't destroy it. I just didn't want you to see it. Here.
Look at this, Blakey. He typed it. And with the same machine he used for the poison pen letters.
Found out last year. I caught him typing out one of his nasty letters. He was so engrossed in his work, he never heard me come in.
Well, why didn't you tell someone?
Well, I didn't want him to go to prison. He's not quite right in the head, that's why he does it. I made him promise to stop, otherwise I said I'd go to the police. He kept his word for a year, and I thought that was the end of it until that letter came for Mr. Compton. I knew what it was as soon as I saw the envelope. I went straight back to Mr. Wardley and said, "That's your lot. I'm going straight to the police." I only meant to frighten him, to make him give it up once and for all. But he thought he'd be clever and send himself a letter, pretend to take an overdose. Then the police would never believe me. It would be his word, a church warden, against mine, a cleaning woman.
So you cleared out your cupboard and hid his typewriter in there?
Yes.
He doesn't deserve you, Ada.
That business with those young girls all them years ago made him unbalanced. The letters were his way of getting his own back on people. What will happen to him?
I don't know yet. If he's prepared to help us, perhaps we could be as forgiving as you, Ada. Well, I think my legs have recovered now, Constable. Let's pay an early morning visit to the hospital.
Is it necessary right now? We know he sent the letters.
But we don't know who killed Mark Compton. And Wardley can tell us who his girlfriend was.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sergeant. Please leave me alone. I'm very ill.
Mr. Wardley, this hard-faced cop at my side is my successor, Detective Constable Blake. He's not soft and forgiving like me. He's all for hanging, flogging, and a knee in the groin.
Providing you cooperate, and providing it stops right now, I'll wipe the slate clean.
What do you want of me?
You sent one of your charming letters to Mark Compton.
That lecher. All smug and high and mighty, but sneaking off behind his wife's back with disgusting perversions with another woman.
Was it you who sent the dead bird and smashed the window?
I don't know what you're talking about. All I did was to send him the one letter.
Then you'd better give us the address of Mark Compton's fancy woman.
She lives in Delford. The end flat in the new block at the back of the supermarket.
And her name? Mr. Wardley would hardly know that. Unless, of course, it was tattooed on her stomach alongside her birthmark. But I think I've got a pretty good idea.
Yes?
Mrs. Bradbury?
Yes?
We're police officers. Can we come in for a moment?
Police officers? What's this about?
If we could talk about it inside, madam, the draft from this corridor is playing havoc with my legs. Chair looks comfortable. Do you mind if I sit down? Hello. Suitcases.
Yes, I'm leaving.
Let me caught you just in time. Do you know a gentleman called Mark Compton, Mrs. Bradbury?
No.
Well, he might not have told you his real name. Show the lady his photograph, Constable.
Here.
Sorry, I don't know him.
Perhaps you don't recognise him with his clothes on.
How dare you? Get out of here.
Please, Mrs. Bradbury, I only just sat down. Forgive my young colleague. He lacks experience and tact. Are you sure you don't know Mark Compton?
Absolutely positive.
Well, I never like to call a lady a liar, Mrs. Bradbury, so I'll tell you what I'll do. You come down to the station with us, let a policewoman examine you, and if you haven't got a birthmark on your stomach, my apologies will bring tears to your eyes.
How do you know about that?
You should keep your blinds drawn when you're entertaining.
It would have been more prudent. You had an audience.
All right. I know him. We were lovers. So, what's this all about?
You said you were lovers.
He threw me up last week. Came here, made love, then calmly told me it was over.
Did he say why?
He was afraid his wife might find out. His wife. He was going to divorce her and marry me. He'd been stringing me along. His promises were as worthless as his damn checks.
His checks?
He borrowed money from me. Paid me back by check, and it bounced.
How much money are we talking about?
Close on £500 in all.
How long have you known him?
6 or 7 months. We met in London.
Does your husband know of this association?
No.
How can you be so sure?
My husband is a very violent and jealous man. That's why I left him. If he ever found out that Mark had been my lover, believe me, there'd have been trouble.
I'm afraid there has been trouble, Mrs. Bradbury. Mark Compton was killed last night.
Mark? Oh, no. And you think my husband... God.
Well, we don't know yet for certain that your husband was involved. But we've got to find him, if only to eliminate him from our inquiries. Have you any idea where he might be?
Isn't he at home?
He hasn't been there for over a month. Did you know that Compton and his wife have been subjected to verbal and written threats? That their property's been maliciously damaged?
I didn't know. Mark never told me. That's just the sort of spiteful thing my husband would do. How did Mark die? Excuse me.
Wait. Are you expecting a call?
No.
Well, I'll take it then. Wicker? What? Are you sure? Oh, I see. Thanks. Well, there's a slight impediment to our inquiries, Constable. They've traced your husband, Mrs. Bradbury. He's in the nick for assault. Been there for the past 2 weeks. Ah, it looks as though we've been wasting your time.
I don't think so, Sergeant. Do you own a car, Mrs. Bradbury?
Yes.
And where were you last night?
Here. I went to bed early.
You weren't here, Mrs. Bradbury. You were over at the Comptons' house with your cans of petrol.
What?
He chucked you up, and you were determined to get your revenge. You made those phone calls. You sent those letters. You then decided to destroy his home. He came down and caught you. I don't know if you meant to kill him when you cracked his skull, but kill him, you certainly did.
This is ridiculous.
Hey, slow down, Constable.
What, to your pace, do you mean? She killed him. The evidence is right under your damn nose, and you missed it.
What evidence?
Show her that letter. The one the Comptons received when the garden was vandalised.
You say so. Here.
Where have all the flowers gone?
Remember it.
Why should I?
Because you sent it. See how it's made up from words cut from a magazine? Vogue magazine, actually. Just like the one I found on your sideboard.
Lots of people read Vogue.
Maybe. But how many people cut words out like this? Look. Look. And what's the betting that just happened to coincide with the words on that letter?
I think I need a solicitor.
Oh, you can phone him as soon as we get back to the station. Is that all right with you, Sergeant Wicker?
Oh, fine. I didn't realise I had any say in the matter.
How's it going, George?
Well, Whiz Kid's charging her now.
Oh, he's cock-a-hoof, isn't he? Spotting that magazine.
Oh, yes. And rubbed salt in the wound. He's also found notepaper and envelopes in the flat, identical to the threatening letter.
Oh, we'll never hear the last of it.
Anyway, it's not my case anymore. The superintendent has instructed me to let Blake tie up all the loose ends.
Well, never mind, George. It's your leaving party tonight. You don't need the aggravation.
Well, I like to finish where I start. I'll take a last little stroll around. There's a few people I want to say goodbye to. Tell Blakey I'll be back by this afternoon. I know he wants to call on Mrs. Compton and crow about his triumph.
How are you feeling, Mrs. Compton?
I haven't really sunk in yet. Everyone's been so kind.
I thought you'd like to know, Mrs. Compton. We've made an arrest.
What? Who?
Mrs. Jane Bradbury.
Bradbury? The wife of that man who tried to pick a fight with Mark?
Yeah. She moved to Delford some weeks back to be with him. Your husband had been having an affair with her.
Mark? Oh, no, Constable, that's stupid.
And he'd been going with her for some months. He even promised to marry her. He broke off the relationship, and as a result, she started this hate campaign. He surprised her in the act of starting the fire. She killed him.
Has she confessed to all this?
Not yet, but she will. The evidence is overwhelming.
This is too much to take in. I've lost everything, and now you tell me that my husband...
Still, you've got something to be thankful for, Mrs. Compton. You won't have any money worries. I believe you were well insured.
Insured? Where we were? I really don't know.
Oh, yes. The house, its contents, your stock of computer equipment and software, insured for £250,000.
Money won't bring Mark back.
That's very true. But still, £250,000. Not a bad little sum for a bankrupt business.
Bankrupt? Our business was flourishing.
Then why did Mark have to borrow money from his mistress? And why did the bank bounce his cheque?
Is all this necessary, Sergeant?
Yes, it is, Constable. Just hold your tongue until I've finished. Why did they bounce his cheques, Mrs. Compton?
The bank must have made a mistake.
That's what I thought. So I had a quiet word with your bank manager, all unofficial, but I've known him for years. Your business is on the rocks.
Mark told me it was booming.
Your house is in hock to the bank as security for unpaid loans. Your current account is £17,000 in the red. The finance company wants to repossess your cars, and the bottom has dropped out of the computer software market. So all that expensive stock you've been holding was worthless. That's the bad news. The good news is that the fire was a godsend. And so timely.
What do you mean, timely?
It happened just 24 hours before the fire insurance policy ran out. And a day later, and she wouldn't have got a penny.
I don't give a damn about the money. Haven't I suffered enough without all this? All those weeks of persecution from that wretched woman.
Don't blame that woman, Mrs. Compton. She knew nothing about it. It was all engineered by your husband.
What the hell are you talking about?
It was an insurance fiddle. No company in its right mind would pay out on a fire that conveniently occurred only hours before the policy expires, especially when the people concerned are on the verge of bankruptcy. So her clever husband invented this mysterious nutter with a grudge, dead birds, wreaths, vandalized gardens, put the blame on the nutter, and the insurers have to pay out. I must say it was all very convincing.
You're blackening my husband's name, and without a shred of proof.
I've got proof. Nothing flash, I'm afraid. Just the slow, plodding kind that slowly limps along but gets there in the end. Bit like me, I suppose. You see, all these phone calls and hate mail started 3 weeks ago. Why should Jane Bradbury have sent it? Your husband didn't chuck her up till last week.
He's only got her word for that. He could have broken off the relationship weeks ago.
No chance. They were making steaming, passionate love last Wednesday with the blinds up. We've got a witness to prove it.
But the magazine... The incriminating evidence, I found.
Who else had access to that flat, Constable?
Mark Compton.
Yes. And to clinch things, Mrs. Compton, I found these in the boot of your husband's car.
Leaves?
Three different sorts of leaves. Identical to the leaves on that wreath. He stole it. He planted it in your lounge after nipping outside to smash the window.
I can't believe it.
Neither could I, at first. Especially as you said you were with your husband that night and you both saw someone running from the house. Then I suddenly realized your husband wasn't doing it on his own. You were in it with him.
Me?
A nice little conspiracy to defraud the insurance company. The pair of you working together, providing alibis for each other. When your husband was away, you vandalized the garden and so on. If I hadn't found these three little leaves in his car, you might well have got away with it.
I was hoping this wouldn't have to come out, Sergeant. The last thing I wanted to do was blacken Mark's name, and I have no intention of making any claim on the insurance company. Everything you say is true. I didn't want to go along with him, but he said it was the only way out. Things were desperate. He was my husband, and I loved him. So I did what he asked. But if I don't make a claim, there's no conspiracy to defraud. And that's the end of it.
So, your husband made the phone calls, sent the letters,
burnt down your house?
Yes.
Then who killed him, Mrs. Compton?
What?
There's no mysterious Nutter. On your own admission, he doesn't exist. There were only two of you in that house last night, and one of them is now dead. So who killed your husband? Why did you do it, Mrs. Compton? Did you find out about the other woman? About the lark she and your husband got up to when he was supposed to be out selling his computers? Did our poisoned pen friend write to you as well, telling you all about it? There's no need to answer. We know who he is. We can ask him ourselves.
I'm not saying anything until I've spoken to my solicitor.
Very wise. Well, I've got to get back to the station for my retirement party. You can phone your solicitor from there. That is, if that's all right with you, Constable.
You're fine, Sergeant. I didn't realise I had any say in the matter.
Here you are, George. One large scotch and a pork pie.
Oh, ta. Oh, Blakey! Over here! How's it going?
She's given me a statement. She admits everything.
Oh, that's a relief. We've never had much of a case.
You can say that again. Where'd you get those leads you showed?
Oh, I tore them off Ada's privet edge as we went in. Thank goodness she's confessed. Now I won't need to perjure myself.
Well, here's to a happy retirement, Sarge.
I echo that, Wickham. Very best of luck.
Oh, thanks very much, Superintendent.
Hey, what about the song, George?
Word with you.
Sir? I understand you've got a confession.
Yes, sir.
Well done.
I'm sorry I had to saddle you with Wicker. I imagine he was more of a hindrance than a help.
Yes, sir.
Still, they'll all be shot of him tomorrow, thank God. Just look at the fat fool. He'd never make a policeman in a million years.
T. Smith, William Simons played Sergeant Wicker, Ian Target, Blake, Joanna Mackey, Jill Compton, and Philip Sully, Mark Compton. Barbara Atkinson played Ada, Lawrence Payne, Dr. Stanton, Michael Tudor Barnes, Sergeant Clark, Norman Bird, Mr. Wardley, and Diana Catis, Jane Bradbury. The play was directed by Matthew Walters.